Welcome to this special episode of the European Uppercut on the DSJMP and Trending Topics Networks, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. No panel this episode, just me and a special guest. His title haul boasts the 2CW Tag Team Championship, Scottish Wrestling Association Laird of the Ring Championship. He's a six-time SWA Tag Team Champion, as well as being the 2010 and 2011 SWA Wrestler of the Year. He's also held the W3L Heavyweight Championship and W3L Tag Team Championship. He's the Beast of Belfast, Damien O'Connor, a.k.a. Big Damo. Welcome to the European Uppercut, one of probably about 3 million wrestling podcasts these days.
Thank you very much for having me. I was listening to your little rundown of my list of achievements and was brought back to about 5 or 6 years ago for some of them, so thank you very much for that.
If there's anything missing off that list, feel free to throw them at me now.
I'm sure there's plenty that probably should be there, but no, it's fine.
I know, it's good to have you on. How are things going for you? You're a busy man, obviously.
Yeah, today has been the first day off in a while there, and we got some really good news today about Nikki Storm. So it's been quite emotional, but very, very good here in Glasgow today.
Absolutely great news about Nikki Storm. We'll come to that a bit later in the conversation, actually, because it's certainly something that caught the attention of myself and a few of my colleagues over the course of the day. So brilliant, fantastic news, and I'm really excited for Nikki, let's be honest. Let's think about you first of all, though. I suppose that the first question should really be, when did you first get interested in wrestling? What was your kind of way into discovering the industry?
I think like a lot of people my age, at the end of the 80s, like obviously there was wrestling on the television for ITV, and it was started to transition between World of Sport and NWA at the time. I've big memories of both eras, or sorry, of both products, but I remember WCW eventually came on, I think in 90 or 91, and that was the... It was very eye-catching, very colorful characters and things like that. So I do remember watching, for some reason I always remember Happy and things like that.
But, right.
It was Sting, for example, that really like took myself and one of the things at the time we would be glued to the television.
But sadly, I
came off television not long after, maybe I think it was 1990.
Right.
And then it was the boom of cheap cheap satellite or cable tel it was at the time.
Yeah.
That brought myself and a huge generation of people back just in time for the Monday Night Wars. So
yeah,
kind of grown up with it as part of my life. And I think everybody has, you know, their own niches or whatever else, and mine
Absolutely.
Was all wrestling. So
just for the benefit of listeners, we're having a bit of a connection issue with the internet. Yep. When you're trying to persist and kind of battle through it, because let's face it, no wrestler worth his salt wouldn't just keep trying to fight the good fight and put on a good show.
Good call. I like what you're saying there.
Exactly. Let's talk about nowadays. What kind of wrestling do you consume from a fan perspective?
Well, pretty much everything, really. Like, that's one of the best things about our community is a lot of us can be very positive and share a lot of each other's matches and things like.
Mm.
So I literally try and watch everything that I can. Generally, somebody says you need to catch this guy, so you know I'll make a point because literally a couple of months later you'll end up wrestling him. So and that's happened, happened quite a lot really. But you know I do my very best to watch WWE and New Japan. They're the top of the industry and as for me and. In anything I'd be in, depending on what job I would have went into, it would be the same. You should always look into what is the very, very peak and, you know, work on yourself from there. And that's, for me personally, I watch as much of that as I can. Notably, especially the new NXT, these last few years have been phenomenal.
It's absolutely.
I do my best to catch up with everything across the independents and even outside of New Japan. I try and watch good matches from Noah and things like that as well. Literally, like a lot of my week will be spent watching wrestling. So,
I mean, effectively, you're always scouting in that respect, but also at the same time, always learning.
Well, for me, wrestling's in a constant state of evolution, and this current cycle we're working into, it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was predicted that it would ever go in this specific way, but it's been a great wave to follow. You know, it's been cracking few years. I'd say maybe from 2011 onwards, like, because we're in an era now where people, you know, people aren't hoodwinked anymore.
No.
It's very difficult to make people believe in a lot of things. And when you have people like 30-year-old men, like madly excited, like school children, then you know you're doing something right. And that's and I think that's what the last few years have really brought about. You know, just need to look at, for example, Daniel Bryan's rise. It was awesome to watch as a fan and as a wrestler. So things like that have been great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's exciting from a fan perspective, but also it's great in terms of seeing the opportunities available to talent like yourself as, you know, as things are developing and growing. And I think we'll get into a wee bit more kind of chat about you and your opportunities as we go through the kind of conversation. Let's chat about your relationship with Discovery Wrestling. I saw you fight with them on back in February, but again, just there on Sunday. How did you get working with those guys?
Discovery Wrestling, our cracking company. It's a very hard market to crack, Edinburgh, because it's technically like a tourist city, and you know they've done a great job to get a foothold in there.
Yeah,
you know, Glasgow and places like that are just a little bit better suited for hosting wrestling shows. But you know, Discovery have done a great job there, and you know I've known those lads. I've known Alan who runs it. Known him about 4 years. I started wrestling at a company he was also involved with up in Dundee, and we actually wrestled each other a few times.
He actually told me you trained him a little bit, and maybe kind of worked him a little hard.
Well, I didn't want to say, but yeah,
I was chatting with Alan.
Dramatic than that, but yeah, I did. I worked him pretty hard. You know, he's got a good attitude with what he's trying to do with Discovery. Yep. And it's exciting to see like what is essentially a fledgling company, you know, just seemingly figure out, you know, a very good philosophy for itself. You know, they kickstarted a huge show at Meadowbank at the end of 2014, and it was a cracking show. And, you know, they've done their best to maintain that, you know, level performance in ring throughout the last 2 years. So fingers crossed that it keeps going for them, because they're a great bunch of lads.
And just kind of finishing off chatting about Sunday there, it looks like come June that you're going to have your hands full with Dave Conrad.
Well, he's going to have his hands full with me more than anything. So Conrad got himself involved both in March and there. So there's definitely more to happen between us.
That sounds interesting. Look forward to that. So in terms of, you know, UK outfits, who do you work with regularly? You know, what are your main homes, shall we say, in the UK?
My main home is ICW and CN Championship Wrestling. I've been with them now since the end of 2013. And, well, I did a few things for them over the years before that, but been a stable part of the roster since then.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an unbelievable company. I also do a lot of work with Revolution Pro Wrestling. It's based in the South of England. Rev Pro, they've given me opportunities. When I first got into wrestling, I never thought would ever happen. I could sit here and wax lyrical on and be grilling all day, but you know, I tell them enough that I like them. So, but, other than that, you know, there's also Progress Wrestling, XWA. Yeah. Here in Scotland, there's Pro Wrestling Elite and Pride, and obviously SWA, which used to wrestle for a lot more. So, you know, there's maybe like about 20 companies, but that's kind of the main ones that I work for.
I suppose that leads me nicely into one of the questions I've actually got in front of me here, which is, do you feel that places like ICW and Rev Pro provide every opportunity for UK talent to be seen by some of the bigger companies around the globe?
Well, undoubtedly, like all the opportunities I've had, a lot of it has come down to the fact that they've been able to put eyes on their product. Like if you look what Andy Quilden did with creating a partnership in New Japan has been, you know, a crazy opportunity for myself and Will Ospreay, who just debuted for New Japan there, and for Marty Scurll and for the other lads involved with the Rev Pro Collective. Whereas ICW, you know, ICW is, you know, probably one of the top indie companies in the world now. And, you know, it's I don't know where it stops, really. You know, they're aiming to put 10 or 11,000 people in a building, which if you'd have said these things 5-10 years ago, you know, people would have laughed in your face. And now, you know, they're talking about this kind of amount of people, and that they've sold over a third of tickets, and you're just thinking, oh God, they've got 6 months to go. They'll sell it out, you know. So it's things like that that just are kind of mind-blowing, you know.
Yeah,
they put 4,000 people into the SECC in November there, and we were just there, and you kind of just do what you do your job first and foremost. Yeah. It's the week after that you kind of realise that was actually very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let's take it back to chat about Nikki Storm for a minute. Obviously, the news coming out that she's officially going to the Performance Center. She's got a great opportunity there with the whole NXT brand. What's your relationship with Nikki? How long have you known her, and how pleased are you for her for that transition?
Well, obviously, we're over the moon. All of us here in pretty much in British wrestling are. Yeah. I think everybody knew from day one that she'd, you know, a great charisma about herself. And once she found her character, you know, she went to America and she went to Japan and things. And, you know, they loved her there as well. So, I started training Nikki. She started with Scottish Wrestling Alliance in early 2008. And I became a coach there late 2008. So she'd already learned how to bump and things like that.
Yep.
But I took her then to the, you know, obviously the next stage of her training, and you know, it's been brilliant to see what's happened with her. She's been pretty much an ambassador for Scottish wrestling, because she was one of the first ones really to get out of this country and show people that, you know what, there is talent here.
Yeah.
You know, Kaylee Ray, for example, followed Nikki. You know, she went to America just after, and then Viper went to Japan and things. So, you know, it's been great, because Nikki's one of those people who happily goes into any situation and give it her all. And, you know, she's done that each time. And it's great, because a lot of the other girls around at the same time are, you know, able to live up to the same standard. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if either Kaylee Ray or Viper ended up in NXT themselves very soon.
It's funny to say it, because a while back there was certainly rumour and speculation that Kaylee Ray was likely to be NXT bound at some point. So I would certainly like to see that for her.
The one thing about Kaylee is Kaylee's a lot younger, so I think she's got more time on her plate.
Absolutely.
She's a brilliant talent. You know, they know exactly who she is, so I think it's a case of it's when, not if, I think is the question with Kaylee. But with Nikki, you know, we were all chuffed today. Like, so we've known she's been there. Like, she's been there the last few days, but for it to get officially announced,
yeah, a lot of yeah, it's all so long you can keep your mouth shut for comfortably.
Very
anyway,
very difficult. But no, we're over the moon. So, and it's now just for us. It's a case of everybody's going to be getting the network to watch her. Watch her perform, you know what I mean, if they don't already have it.
I was going to say, you've not got the network yet, people, get on with it.
Obviously they have the network, everybody. It's just more reason to watch, you know. Not that there wasn't plenty of reasons already, but now it's definitely a level where it's very real, especially for young girls. They can look up at this as a possibility now. Nikki's not, you know, 6 foot tall, you know, she's... She wasn't a model before wrestling, you know. She was a girl who wanted to be a wrestler, and she trained to be one. She was trained like a guy. We hit her as hard as we hit anybody else, and we pushed her maybe harder than some of the guys. And you know what? She had a chip on her shoulder from day one, and maybe that's could be down to whatever. Like her father was a boxer, so there might have been a wee element of that maybe gave her that chip on the shoulder that she needed to succeed. So... That's things like that are definitely helped her, and you know what, she's got a great attitude, and I think she'll go out there with the ability to talk and wrestle, and she'll only get better. So we're very excited to see what happens.
Excellent. Now let's transition this conversation back to yourself. It's obviously on the record that you were trained, among others, by likes Robbie Brookside, Fergal Devitt, aka Finn Balor, both kind of permanent fixtures in the world of NXT at the moment. I, for one, certainly feel that you'd look great on NXT TV. Is that something that's on your wish list?
Well, for me personally, it's one of those things. Like, I would never say no. It's not my wish list. but we have, you know, I've got plenty of goals I want to achieve first before anything like that happens. But you know, at the end of the day, for us, you know, we're getting to see some of the best wrestling every week at the minute, and you know, it's actually phenomenal to see that roster get better week in, week out. You know, to see Fergal there, and to know that Robbie's a coach there, know that those guys are in brilliant hands, because they were so influential in my own career. And, you know, I'm hoping that there will be a day I'll be trained by Robbie Brookside again. He was probably one of the most important people in my life, because he made me believe that I could actually do something with this. I started training with him in 2011. I'd been wrestling 6 years on shows. You know, meeting Robbie really helped change a lot of my own philosophies of wrestling and give me a lot of self-belief, to be honest with you. And you know, it's no coincidence that my rise from 2012 onwards goes hand in hand with the fact I was training with him. So I'll be the first to admit, sorry, that Robbie was massive for the way my psychology and even my brain when it came to wrestling matches. So Fergal as well, like Finn Balor, like we knew how good a wrestler he was. You know, we started training him in 2009. He really, he made our training, a lot more, trained us more like athletes. I think that's the best way I can put it.
Right.
And we all took it a lot more seriously. And you can see the results. That class in 2009 was Nicky Storm, Joe Coffey, Jackie Polo, Lewis Gervin, all these people who you know about now, Mark Coffey, and all these people, these talented wrestlers, they all came through that same group with that time. So you know, it's a correlation, really, you know.
You mentioned Joe there. I've actually been speaking to Joe and we're planning to have him in for a wee chat very soon, so that'll be quite good to do. Looking forward to that
itself, so
let's also talk about somewhere else we have seen you, and that's the recent work you did with TNA. How did that come about? What was it like, and especially getting a chance to be in a King of the Mountain match?
Yeah, TNA were unbelievable, to be honest. They got into, one of the writers got in touch with me via email, and they offered myself, Jimmy, and Will to do the tapings, and you know, they treated us very well, paid us very well, so it was a great experience for all of us. And obviously it's been great for all of our exposure. You know, for my mother, for example, to stick on Challenge TV and see my ugly face. You know, so it was great for all of us. And it was, you know, myself and Jimmy, we ended up in a couple of matches together as well. We've been friends for a decade or something. So you know, it was very cool for the pair of us. And for Will, obviously, you know, he's an unbelievable talent. So, you know, it's another opportunity for himself, you know. So, but no, TNA were unbelievable. I can't say nicer things about them, really. So
it's really good to hear. They get a lot of stick, especially from the old IWC. It must be quite a difficult time for them. They've had to go through a lot of change, a lot of transition, seeing a lot of talent take their departure from the company and kind of rebuilding a lot as they go.
Yeah, but you can look at the roster right now and say that it's, especially in ring, you know, there's some phenomenal wrestlers there, like Mike Bennett, EC3, Drew Galloway. You know, there's some really, really good talent there to build on. And, you know, it will be a case of they will eventually, you know, get through that IWC hatred, whatever, because, you know what, a lot of it's unfounded. So
absolutely.
In ring is what matters. In ring is, you know, it's really good stuff. So
the latest story that was kind of doing the rounds was that they'd closed their office and moved their office into the warehouse. And it's like, how many different ways can you try and spell the doom of a company who are just trying to put out their work, do their business, entertain the crowds, develop and grow talent?
Like, nobody seemed to criticise WWE when they opened the performance centre in a giant industrial warehouse or whatever it was, you know what I mean? So it just seems to be that, like, everybody thinks it's a very cool time to put a boot in or two, but you know what, like, you know, every success you're going to have is going to be met with a criticism. So as long as they keep going and keep doing what they believe is right, then the rest of the world will follow. So fair play to them.
And let's be honest, this is an industry that thrives on competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay, fair enough. Let's chat about another talent from north of the border who has been linked with some very big future talk, and that's Noam Dar.
Oh, yeah. Well, delighted to hear that Noam's been included in the Cruiserweight series. And you know what? I'm not surprised. Like, he's another unbelievable talent. Like I've watched Noam for 7 years or something, maybe 8 years. And I saw him recently at a show, and I was actually speaking to him, and he's never looked as good. So it shows that he's put a lot of work in the gym and he's working very hard there, and you can see it all coming together in ring. Every year he just gets that much better. I think is the only criticism I could give him is maybe that he's got a very harsh accent, but I could say that as a Northern Irish person in Scotland, you know. It's his personality, you know, he's got a very cool image, a very cool in-ring persona, and it wouldn't surprise me if he impresses all the right people at WWE, because in my opinion, he's good enough to be in NXT right now, and he's still at such a young age that he could be a prospect for them for the next decade.
Absolutely, and he comes across, or he certainly seems to come across, as being a very genuine, very amiable guy.
Oh, definitely. Like, I remember you get him talking about dogs and things like that, and you, you could see that he's, you know, very like a very happy, very genuine person as well. So no, he's a lovely fella, and he'll I think he'll impress people over there. I think he's going to do very well.
Excellent, good to hear. Now I've chatted to a couple of the guys that we have as regular contributors to the show, and one of them certainly threw one important question at me, and that's, what's it like working with Japanese talent such as guys like Ishii and of course the new boy in NXT that's really caused a positive commotion, Nakamura?
Well, as I said, like, these opportunities, they're crazy good. This is the equivalent, like when I wrestled Nakamura, that was the equivalent of wrestling Hulk Hogan in his pump, really, you know, in comparison. He's the Japanese version of, you know, he's probably the best wrestler alive. And I remember I'd been a huge fan of his for a few years, so it was a great opportunity to get in the ring and to wrestle him. And for me personally, you know, I've got goals and I've got aspirations and things like that. To wrestle people like him is top of the list, you know, so to be able to do that, especially in the York Hall, which is probably the best venue for wrestling, I think that it just seems to attract the right fans at the right time.
Yeah,
they end up giving us a great atmosphere. And the first time I wrestled in the York Hall, I was against Ishii, and you know, I fully expected to get very little of a reaction because you know, I was against, you know, a foreigner, and it was my debut technically for in that venue. But you know, they received me very well, and they were with us for every punch and kick to the face. So it was an awesome experience. With Ishii, it was a little bit harder because he has absolutely zero English. So, it was an example that wrestling is universal. You know, it's a language in itself. And you know, I look back on that as one of the most positive experiences of my life. Same again for Nakamura and Tanahashi. Like, I couldn't believe it when I got announced I was wrestling the pair of them 2 days after each other, because I'd seen them at the G1 Climax, the 25th anniversary, and what they did was pure magic. So then I had to go and rest at home. So
yeah,
good experience for me.
Also, the more eagle-eyed viewer will have noticed very clearly, if they watched the video package that they showed for Nakamura prior to NXT TakeOver Dallas, your face appeared at least twice.
Yeah, probably getting kicked in the face by Nakamura, I imagine. So, I'm sure it didn't appear there for too long because of it.
It was the Rev Pro footage, actually, so it's good to see your face getting that little tiny little moment on NXT TV.
it's good to know that my face was an excellent vehicle for Nakamura's needs, so that was good.
Absolutely. And you got to wonder if he personally chose those clips.
Well, I'd imagine if he did, he'd probably done the one where he came, I think it was the second one he did, and he just, it looked unbelievable. But no, it was very, very nice little nod from WWE, because that is one of my favorite matches in my career. So it was good to know that Nakamura went there first and foremost.
Absolutely.
He's just something else entirely. He's a different entity, charismatic, you know, charisma's off the charts. So, you know, to see him, I remember when I first heard that it was a rumor, and I was, you know, it was like the little boy in you know, first started watching like wrestling. You know, it was the same kind of excitement, because it's just all these possibilities and endless matches. And you're just thinking to yourself, wow, like, and he's going to be there for the next few years. So, you know, it's going to be a very exciting time to be a wrestling fan. You know, I can say that, like, especially with the Bullet Club there as well. So,
yeah, you've yet to see how that's going to, you know, come out on TV as well, how they're going to play that out. So it'll be quite an exciting time to continue on from here.
So it's definitely good to, you know, to see people who have wrestled or people who have spoke to do so well, you know. And with Nakamura, like, it's, I can't wait to see him on WrestleMania and things like that, because you know, that's, you know, imagine him against the Lesnars and things like that. It's just crazy to think. So
that's it, so many opportunities. And it's, you know, actually just before we came on tonight, I was watching the first 40 minutes or so of Raw, and just watching Kevin Owens versus Cesaro in a match, and you know, you start thinking about all these combinations, guys still in NXT, the amazing roster that WWE have been building of late. You look at two guys that appeared just in the crowd during NXT TakeOver Dallas, I'm talking Bobby Roode and Ibushi, And you start putting all these different things in the mix over the next 6, 8, 9, 10 months. There's so much we've yet to see and so many exciting matchups that have never, ever happened before still to come as well.
That's the thing, like, you know, from a purist's point of view, you know, people who are fans of what happens bell to bell, there's never been a better time. Like, I'll argue that this is maybe the best, you know, collection of talent, maybe ever. You know, you could say that, you know, during the late 90s and things like that, you know, the especially start of the 2000s, it was maybe about star power. It was the greatest collection of star power ever, whereas now, you know, I think it's the greatest collection of wrestlers, you know what I mean? So, from my point of view, I can't wait to see how it plays out. So
yeah, absolutely. Let's take this back to the UK scene and I suppose a bit more of a somber topic, and let's chat a wee minute about Chris Travis and what impact his passing has had.
Well, you can see, like, a lot of my friends were very close to him. Like, I've known Chris for a decade, but I wasn't particularly close with him. We actually never wrestled. I think we wrestled a couple of times in Rumbles, but I mean, we never actually had a specific match together.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. You know, it's just that my rise kind of up the cards, so to speak, came, you know, as he was sadly started getting ill. So
yeah,
it just never quite crossed paths in that way. But you know, Chris touched a lot of people's lives, and I know a lot of them were there the other day at his funeral and stuff. So you know what, like, he was a hell of a talent. He looked at when he did boot camp, he looked like He-Man. You know, he looked unbelievable. And he easily could have went to America there and had things worked out slightly differently. And it's just a shame the way it did. So my thoughts are with his friends and family. I know he got married there before Christmas and stuff. So, you know, it's awesome that, he was able to do these things before the end. We all hoped he was over the worst of it last summer when he even wrestled NCW and stuff and Pro Wrestling Elite. But you know what, you know, it's just the way things go. And, you know, I'm hoping that his friends remember him and are able to honour him as best they can. So
there's certainly been a huge outpouring of respect and appreciation for everything that he did. One that kind of surprised me a little when I saw it on Twitter was Sean Waltman saying, putting his name basically on the table and saying that he deserves next year's Warrior Award. You know, I thought it was an interesting one.
I don't see why not. I mean, like, realistically, he's one of the lads who had battled cancer, and it looked like he won his battle, and, you know, sadly it wasn't meant to be. And you know, I think it's great that, you know, so many world-renowned stars have come out and talked very positively about him. I know Kevin Owens and many others as well. You know, Robbie Brookside as well, things like that. You know, so it's been to see so many people say their respects for him. Obviously, with Chris's passing, he'll be very missed on the British scene, well, on the world scene of wrestling. And it was great to see so many world-renowned talents pay their respects.
Yeah.
So thoughts are definitely with his friends and family.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll stay on the UK scene then. And other than, of course, yourself, who are the guys that you think deserve to be put into that spotlight, given that focus, and be kind of put in the radar of WWE, or who may already be potentially, but in your eyes?
Well, first of all, like, this question gets harder every time I get asked it, because it does, though, because there's just so many more. Like, I've already said about, like, Noam and Kaylee and things like that, but, you know, Joe Coffey is a hell of a talent. I think that himself and Polo Promotions could easily be, you know, that's Mark Coffey, Jackie Polo. They could easily be anywhere. Like, I can't think of any company in the world where the three of them wouldn't fit in.
Yeah.
For Joe Hendry, I think, you know, he's been at it a very short amount of time, and I think sky's the limit for him, and same for Viper as well. So, you know, those ones, they could be anywhere in the next few years. Outside of Scotland, obviously, you know, Marty Scurll and people like that. Like, you know, there's actually, like, quite a few lads down south just now, and it's great to see Will Ospreay getting his opportunities, because he's absolutely crazily good. So, you know, it's exciting that we're amongst so many. And we've still got the likes of, you know, Mikey Whiplash and Rampage Brown and guys like that who, you know, are some of the best wrestlers on the planet right now, you know what I mean? So the reason why they couldn't go to NXT and beyond either, because they're crazily good. So, you know, it's amazing to think that we have so many talented wrestlers right now. So
Absolutely. Just kind of going back to Joe Coffey, just look back at Sunday there and the match he had with Jay Lethal at the Discovery Show Sunday. An absolutely brilliant match. I was very, very impressed by the effort put in by both guys and a bit of a standing ovation at the end of it all.
Muchly deserved. I really enjoyed the match myself. I know that Jay Lethal was very complimentary of Joe, and you know, let's hope that can lead to something as well. So,
yeah.
Joe is an excellent talent. He's one of my favourite opponents. I think I put him over too much, so just put it out there. He's really, really good. And, he could go anywhere in the world.
Brilliant. Well, before we go into what you've got coming up and a chance for you to do a bit of plugging and pushing of what you've got coming up, I'm going to hit you with a fast five. So five quick fire questions that you can give as short an answer as you like to. We'll bang through them and we'll see where we go at the end of it. First question, who that you've never faced is your dream opponent?
Finley by a country mile. It'd be him or Finn Balor for who I'd want to wrestle. Finley was one of the guys who took it to absolutely anybody, height, weight, size, whatever, no matter what style they were, no matter what era he was in, and he fit in like a glove. So, you know, he's a huge, huge influence, for my own career. Obviously, being from 8 miles away from where I grew up as well,
yeah.
It certainly helps. Where's Finn Balor? Like, he's probably the best wrestler alive right now. So, you know, I'd love to wrestle him and obviously show him that I've learned plenty.
Absolutely right. Okay, next question. What is your favourite wrestling theme or wrestling themes?
Oh, there's a question. As a fan, when Austin's music hit, it was crazy good. On the day scene, I love Jimmy Havoc's music. Mm-hmm. I think it completely suits him as a character and as a person. I'm trying to remember what else I really loved. I really loved the NWO theme tune as well. It was
classic.
Joe Coffey put it on in the car the other day, and we both rocked out to it. So it was good times.
Actually, just talking about wrestling, he's never been in HMV one day, and Kane's theme came on, which kind of caught me a little bit off guard. I'd be checking behind my back as I walked around the shop.
Just look out for any pyrotechnics, you know.
Exactly, absolutely. Okay, now we've chatted about your dream opponent, but if you could tag with anyone past or present, who would you choose?
Okay. See, these are tough questions. Well, again, like, you know, it's not a cop-out, but, you know, Finlay would be amazing to learn from.
Yep.
Let's see. Himself, who else I suppose in modern wrestling, in this era, you know, I'd like to team with Dave Massa for Joe Coffey, maybe a bit more like with Dave Massa. We've only teamed once or twice and we loved it. But I do actually really enjoy teaming with Joe Coffey as well. We wind each other up in the right way. It's quite amusing.
Okay, and let's look at match types and gimmicks for matches. What's your favourite?
Normal single match. it's by a country mile, my favourite. Don't get me wrong, I do enjoy aspects of, you know, with ICW having no rules is very exciting as well.
Yeah,
I enjoy tag wrestling. I've never done a cage match, so that's something that I've never done a cell. How's that?
There you go, obviously too many headshots there.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me. But no, I've done a cage match actually, so I've my memory's terrible.
And the last one of these, who's your pick for a future world heavyweight champion?
Who do I think could be a future world heavyweight?
Yep. Champion?
Since I already am one, I'd say out of all seriousness, I could see Finn Balor as a future world heavyweight champion. I think he could definitely be the next WWE. World champion. I could be there in the next year as well, actually.
And what a great time that would be for us all to watch as well. So let's come back to you then. Tell us what you've got on the card coming up. What shows are you doing? Where are you going to be?
So on Saturday and Sunday, I'm against I'm in Rev Pro. Reading, I'm against Roderick Strong. And on Sunday, Sittingbourne, I'm against ACH.
Right.
Then the week after that, I'm wrestling for Progress and ICW. In Progress, I'm against Michael Dante, and ICW, I'm against Trent Seven. So it'll be a very hard hitting day for me. And then the week after that, I'm there for Reckless Intent in Edinburgh, in Livingston. I'm against Paul Tracy. But on the same day, I'll also be wrestling in PBW, so in Greenock. So busy wee day there. And then day after that is my title shot at Rev Pro. I'll be against Zack Sabre Jr. So that'll be in the cockpit in London. So I've got a very good couple of weeks coming up. So, and that's one of my number one goals was to get into the main event for Revolution Pro Wrestling. So a massive match for me against Zach, who we haven't wrestled in, I think it's 6 or 7 years. So it'll be great to wrestle him now as a very different person.
Of course, Zach also one of the names in that Cruiserweight series.
Yeah, and he's a fantastic talent. Like, we all knew from, you know, day one, anybody who ever saw him, he was just this crazy fast and technical wrestler, and added so much more to that. And he's actually a great talker as well, that you don't really get a chance to see him promo. But he's got a great personality. But after that, I'm in America for 3 weeks, so I'll be wrestling for AIW and in Cleveland.
Right, when you're there, there's going to be a guy there by the name of Heavyset. His own name is Justin. He's a good friend of ours, and he's going to want a photo op.
I might specifically say no now. I just sent.
Just tell him that Ian said no.
Ian said no. No problem. I'll make sure that it was you who said it as well.
No, I'm only kidding. He's a good guy. He's a good friend. Sure, fit. But yeah, he's also had his photo taken with Nikki and many, many, many others for the year.
So yeah, looking forward to it.
he's honestly a sound guy, sound very sound guy. How can folk kind of follow you? Where can they find you on social media and find out what you're up to at any given time?
Well, the good news is I've finally figured out how to change my handle for everything, and I've made it all the same handle. So for Instagram, Twitter, and for Facebook, it's Big Beard Demo. So because I'm big, I've got a beard. I mean, it's demo. So all one word, Beard Demo. So it took me only 12 years to figure out the how easy something like that could be. But I did it in the last few weeks, and it's worked exponentially. So
and it's gonna be a fun day when you decide to shave off the beard.
Well, that's. There is days, don't get me wrong, when you've like little starlings and things like that trying to mess. But no, it will be a fun day when I can see my face again, yes. But I doubt it'll be for a while.
It's been great chatting to you, Damien. I hope to get more chances to chat to you in the future, somewhere down the line, perhaps even face to face at a Discovery show or something like that. And good luck with all the shows coming up, especially that main event you've got. It's going to be very exciting times for you, and hopefully you get more and more gold as the weeks go by, and maybe one day even get that NXT phone call.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Best of luck.
Cheers, thank you.